too mixed up, frankly. I'm 39 years old. I grew up, I feel like, in one of the last sort of windows of age where people did play, like, every kid played baseball just because it was like, that's something you did, right? You played baseball. Donnie, did you play it growing up? Not yeah. every kid plays it now. It's hard to, it's expensive. Travel baseball dominates. That's a whole other discussion. What I feel bad for are the people older than me, 45 and up, who really still, even though the Steelers are great in the 70s, really came of age at a time when baseball was still a big deal. There's a romantic factor for the game. It gets romanticized. It's this pastime. It's the thinking man's game. You can hear it when people call the Sports Call or call us or call any other show. Beneath all the anger is a desperate wanting for good things, yeah, and they just don't get them.
Okay, but at least those people got to have them at one point.
Well, right. They're yearning for it, what they got to experience. I have our YouTube page up again today just to see another wall of comments. Here's
Does
a guy
Melon
saying...
Does Melon Juggler have more takes again?
No, somebody just called me bald and then made a very mean joke about me that I won't repeat. Somebody also said... Steve said, I am glad I got to experience 79 World Series We Are Family Team. I feel for people who don't know that feeling.
Pittsburgh police scanner in Lawrenceville, Penn Ave. Caller says that a man wearing a Pirates jersey is just screaming.
Is that David Bednar?
That was actually 9 hours ago.
That guy saw the future.
He was given a vision. He was given a glimpse. Like one of those
Is this thing
in a movie.
Real? Or is it just
no,
for...
No,
we
found out
before it is.
Yeah, I kind of stepped in it a little bit.
So why
I said
do they have to report someone just standing there going, Because
somebody called it in.
Because somebody called it in, yeah. I mean, many of the tweets from that are, caller thinks like that this is unusual and called the police. It's like, man is standing there like picking his butt crack. Caller thinks this is obscene and should not be
that
done in public.
That man saw a huge Pirates lead, and he saw big old David Bednar lumbering in from the bullpen.
I honestly, I said this already, but I told Pony, what do you think the chances are Bednar can't hold this two-run lead? He said 50-50. I felt worse than that. As soon as he put a runner on base, I think you and I sat in here during a break and just said, here it comes, and we were right.
Yep. As it has often been with him, I think it was a leadoff walk. All right, 412-928-9370. Start with Paul. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Pony Malzy. I called a couple weeks ago and I talked on Dan's show. And
yes,
you
we loved you. We
day.
Loved you. You're the guy that was making fun of Shelton for coming up with nicknames and all that business.
Yeah. He's great at nicknames, okay? He's great at nicknames. But you really love the fact that I said, this is amateur hour.
Yeah,
we did. This is an example of amateur hour. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. And on the Steelers note, forget about IU. Who the hell cares about him? He ain't going to help us because we still got Mike Tomlin, and by the halfway point, we still ain't going to have a quarterback.
All right, Paul, thank you.
That was
Call
like
again.
That was like going to the convenience store that's got a little bit of everything. That was the one-stop shop. Segwayed right in. Amateur hour.
It reminded me of the end of Scarface. He just wanted to unload the chamber on everything.
Do I still have that?
Amateur hour.
I wish I still had that. I don't know if I got rid of it or not. I'll find it.
How did you get rid of it? It's impossible to get... Unless we have one of those audio house fires, it's like impossible to delete stuff from that thing.
I have secret folders and stuff, you know
that. Oh, yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Anyways, yeah, we did like his amateur hour. He really got on show. That was the Arizona game.
Can I ask you something serious here? I mean, we're letting the people talk, and I want to hear from more people. I really do. You have balked a little bit when I have lumped Ben Cherington in mm-hmm. and been vicious towards him and said, what has he earned? Like, yep. what allowances has he earned? You started some of this by saying it's the guy who built this thing. Who can you
today
turn,
it felt like that for
who
sure.
Who can you turn? Well, but the bullpen has been pretty bad now for a while. Like, a lot of these guys are just guys. It was supposed to be the best part of your team coming into the year. I continue to say, what has the GM done other than people fearing a potential reboot with a new GM to warrant keeping his job?
You're catching me on a day where my feeling is to just clean house and bring two new people in. So I have no... I don't want to be the person right now that wants to die on the hill if Ben Cherington can do a good job with this team and help turn things around. Here is Paul's call from a few days ago or from a few weeks ago that had us cackling.
But let's stop sugarcoating everything. There's only one thing that Derek Shelton's good at, and that's giving his players nicknames. I don't want to hear about Chappie and this one and Scotty Too Hottie or whatever the hell else nickname he has. He has blown more games with his managerial changes at pitching. Go over all the games that we've lost, that we've had leads because of Derek Shelton pitching changes. This is amateur hour.
That is.
I don't know why, like, Scotty Too Hottie, I obviously love because of the wrestling tie-in, but Chappie makes me laugh every time. It sounds like what a dwarf's name would be in Snow White.
Wasn't there a movie?
You don't want to get Chappie upset.
Wasn't there a movie called Chappie?
I don't know, man. You might have to look that up.
Look up Chappie. I think there was a random weird movie called Chappie.
Shane is in Pittsburgh. He's on the fan. Hello, Shane.
Hi, how are you?
Were you the guy in Lawrenceville who was just screaming this morning in a Pirates jersey for no reason?
No, but I don't blame him.
Okay. What do you got for us?
I was at this game, and, you know, before the game, I saw Bob Nutting, like, on the field, all happy. So I know he saw this game. I don't get how he sees this incompetent team, and then he doesn't do anything about it. Shelton should not be managing this team anymore. The team has improved skill-wise. Like, there's better players. We picked up IKF. We picked up De La Cruz. But every year, we're still just this dumpster. Like, 3 years ago, we had Ben Gamel starting games, but it doesn't matter. It's on Shelton. It's not the skill. I mean, we could use some better players. It's all Shelton.
I don't think it's all him.
I mean, I think,
sorry,
I actually think
Shane,
you're...
But you can't just say it's all the manager.
Yeah, I think
the manager,
he's glossing over
he's
a big
skill deficiency.
He's part
of the problem.
Deficiency.
I think if you gave him a better team, I think he'd find a way to make them a little worse, not, like, run him completely into the ground, but...
If he had the Dodgers roster, they'd still be in playoff position. If Derek Shelton was managing
you know
the
what?
Dodgers, he'd
I actually
be in.
Disagree with you on that. I think Arizona and San Diego would be ahead of them, given some of their starting pitching issues and injuries. I think they'd still be good. I mean,
so wait, you don't think they'd even be in playoff position?
No, I think
that's what I said.
I think they'd be third.
Okay, but they'd still be in playoff position at that point because all three of those teams are at least three clear of the field.
Fair enough, but I don't think he would win 100 games.
I'll tell you who would win more games than 62 right now is Torey Lovello with this team.
Well, he's got Jeff Banister sitting next to him. Bring his ass back here. He was a manager of the year in Texas. He loves the Pirates.
One time I got to talk to Lovello about Skeens in the All-Star game, man, just blown away, like immediately in a 10-minute conversation. Donnie felt the same way. He cut the profile of a guy you could tell was very good at the job, understands how to deal with people. It was just obvious to me why he was able to get so much out of them last year. And look, to his credit, they're going to be better in the regular season this year.
Here's Mike in Morningside. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, man.
Good. Hey, I just got to say, if you were going to do a sports cartoon, I would have Paul Skeens sitting by his locker with a calendar counting down the days so he signed with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm just disinclined to, like, even argue with people who want to say something that fatalistic because I get it, man. On days like today, you know what? This is how mad I am today. Not even... Do I even say mad? It's just the culmination of seeing it happen over and over again, I think. Giving up 41 runs in three games. On days like today, if that was what Paul Skeens was doing, how could I possibly blame him? Why wouldn't you just want to get away from this as fast as you were legally allowed to by the rules of the sport?
I just feel like they suck the life out of people sometimes with the losing and the dead ends. And yeah, I mean, they had a core of players that turned it around and there were some shrewd moves that got made for those 3 years. And there was like, see, the other thing is there was a build up to it. 2011 was way better than 2010. 2012 was way better than 2011.
Yep.
So, you know, you started to
think, the dam broke in 2013.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's not linear anymore. If they come back this year and finish this season and suck in September and take a step backwards. And I know in 88, they were good. In 89, they sucked. And then in 90, they won the division. They also were beset by horrible injuries in 89. This team, from last year's team that won 76, added two players. O'Neill Cruz, who has the highest OPS on the team, and Paul Skeens. Not to even mention Jared Jones, who has a mini-year the whole year, but is still better than some of the guys they had behind Keller in last year's rotation. You added Skeens, and you added Cruz after he played, what, 9 games last year? Mm-hmm. And they're going to be worse.
Yep. And potentially a lot worse. Okay, 4-26 is unlikely, obviously, which is what that last poll option I put up there, Pony. It is absolutely within this team's capacity to go like 8-22 and win 70 games right on the nose. Would you agree?
With their schedule?
You have absolutely seen them prove capable of this.
Yeah, I mean, this was supposed to be, and I know they took 3 of 4 from Cincinnati, but okay, like homestand where you're playing.
You've got Cleveland, they're still trying to play.
Instead, they went
Cubs again, Nats again.
They went 2 and 5 on this road trip, and you're right. They're going to go to Cleveland now and play a team that's reeling, but still trying to win its division and guarantee itself a playoff spot.
They've got the Royals. The Royals are the team chasing the Guardians.
You know, the Royals are a great example of a team.
They spent money.
Not only that, they lost 100 games last year. And they're going to win their, and they're going to make the playoffs, barring some cataclysmic collapse.
Who'd they bring in? Seth Lugo.
Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha were the two guys in their rotation. And you know what's happened? Their young players have gotten better. Bobby Witt Jr. is an absolute superstar. They've got guys there in their lineup who most baseball fans have never heard of, who are in their 20s that have gotten better year after year, that they've developed. Look who we've developed. We hold up Nick Gonzalez as some testament to their minor league system working to some degree. Like, he's like the patron saint of that right now, offensively. What is he? He's a guy with an OPS in the 600s. He's a below average major league hitter by the numbers.
Pony, they've done this too. They have paid real, like, I would say pretty big money to keep Sal Perez around at that position. Very important position. He's an elder statesman who has played his entire career. He has made over $100 million at the Royals. What do you think Sal Perez is doing this year?
He's having a giant
year. He is having a monster year. Hold on. I'm not done. Real quick. They signed Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha. Wins are not everything. Those guys have combined for 25 of them. They've chewed up a lot of innings, and both of them have sub-350 ERAs.
Texas on the Edgar Snyder Associates fan text line. If you're wondering, why are these guys so worked up about the Pirates? It's because today at PNC Park, the Bucks were up 10-3. Paul Skeens came out of the game at that point up a touchdown, and the Pirates gave it all back. They end up losing the game 14-10. Bad defense. David Bednar putting runners on before that even happened. Jalen Beeks didn't do better. Chapman sucked in the eighth inning. Nicholas stayed in the game way too long. Complete and utter disaster. And you get swept, and you have fans now wondering why. Why do I do this to myself?
Yeah, he had no command of the secondary stuff. Had to throw fastballs, you know. I mean, we almost got out of it. Alika made a hell of a play, and we almost got out of it. IKF would have had to have made a good play, but, I mean, we have to cover. We have a 10-3 lead in the seventh. We have to cover the game.
Snippet of Derek Shelton. You'll hear more of him coming up here. After the Pirates, he presided over it. One of the worst losses in PNC Park history. I've had great comebacks there. The Brian Giles game. This in the other direction. In what is more and more becoming a lost season. They bought at the trade deadline. They were 3 games over .500. Now they are 9 games under. They just got swept by the Cubs. Their closer is a complete mess. They moved their shortstop to center field. He actually, I thought, was decent out there today. 1 game, small sample size. He caught a fly ball in center field, a can of corn. Threw the ball into the infield and made a motion to the dugout to, like, can I save that ball? Like a guy would after his first hit or a pitcher after his first strikeout, which I thought was pretty funny. But that's kind of where the jokes for the Pirates ended, because by the time the game was over, they were the butt of the joke, having lost this game 14-10. 412-928-9370. Here is Cole on the fan. Hello, Cole.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to say, like, I'm a season ticket holder. I never call in. I listen to the show all the time. It's great. But, man, someone earlier, it was like 40 minutes ago, said that this loss isn't on Shelton, but I just feel like it always is. I mean, he's the one that's reeling out David Bednar all the time. A couple weeks ago, someone asked him if he's still the closer. I would have got to my breaking point at this point. It almost feels like he's got to go.
My pushback on that is every reliever they brought into the game sucked today. So it didn't matter the order. It didn't matter when they pitched, apparently, whether it's Beeks, Chapman, Bednar, or Nicholas. All of them sucked. I agree with you, though. I mean, I would have taken Bednar out of that role a long time ago. And I think that there's a loyalty that Shelton has for players that he... Well, he didn't afford that to Cruz. I mean, they made Cruz learn a new position on the fly this season.
Yep.
Now, Bednar is a much better body of work at his job than Cruz did defensively at shortstop, but
Bednar is a far less valuable player than Cruz, whether Cruz is playing short or center field.
And Cruz's feelings in the long run matter a lot more than David Bednar's to me, because I'm trying to build a team around guys like O'Neill Cruz. And frankly, good closers grow on trees. Yeah.
And you know what? They become bad closers just as easily as you find them. And Bednar is proving that right now.
What happened to Jason Grilli. I mean, he was the cat's ass in 2013. 14, it was so bad he got traded for who? Ernesto Friere was the guy's name,
then
I think.
Got McCutchen beaned in a game.
That's right.
Because he hit Goldschmidt.
Oh, man, that's right. Good memory, Malzi. Good pull. Here's Chris on the fan, another one. Hello, Chris.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, I have a question for you guys.
Sure.
Now, I see a Pirates, but with their payroll as it is, does it really matter who you bring out there as a skipper? Because, he's kind of tied with what he can do with these
players. Better manager would have a slightly better record. They're 62-71. I misspoke when I said 62-70. If you give them Pony Joe Madden, for example.
Oh, God. I hate his guts, but he won a World Series and he won in Tampa Bay.
Let's do a 1-2-3. Let's guess a record. If they're 62-71 with Shelton, if Joe Madden had been their manager since game one, they would be 65-68, I would say. Maybe three or four games better, at least.
I think more than that.
I could maybe say 68-65 and flip six games.
I think they'd have a winning record, and I can't stand the guy, but I think he's a much better manager than Shelton.
If they had Lavello, I think they'd have a winning record.
Payroll thing, I'm not trying to say it is a huge deal. But teams that are young and have rebuilt and have had a bunch of early picks and have been able to stockpile their team with young players who aren't making a lot of money, they tend to win a lot if you pick the right guys and develop them properly. Case in point, Baltimore last year. Baltimore was 28th in payroll. That's one spot ahead of where the Pirates are this year. And they won the American League East. And to their credit, they went out and got Corbin Burns this year. So they are spending more money. They're still not a top half payroll team, but they had consecutive 100 loss seasons, just like the Pirates did. They just were able to stock their cupboard better with those picks than us. We got Paul Skeens, which is amazing. He's going to be one of the great pitchers in baseball history, but
they have like a literal embarrassment of riches. They have dudes all over the place. Gunnar Henderson. What have you checked in on Jackson Holliday since he came back up?
Couser's going to win the Rookie of the Year. Anthony Santander's going to hit a bunch of home runs, maybe finish second in the American League in that category behind Judge. Here's Clinton leaving the game. Hello, Clinton.
Hey, gentlemen, how are you doing today?
Crappy.
You know, hey, I tell you what, man, I'm sitting there watching this game, and I even took a little cat nap during the game because I just knew we had, and then the seventh and eighth and ninth inning.
Wait, you legit slept in the ballpark during the game?
Man, I knew we had the game. I thought it was over.
So who the hell woke you up? Someone tap you on the shoulder?
No, I did. No, you know what? I did myself, you know, because I'm enjoying it. I'm like, man, we killing them. We're going to win this game. And you know, the scene has come back. I was like, what the heck just happened? But, you know, though, for everybody that's calling, blaming this all on Shelton, let me tell you something. This is bigger than Shelton.
I agree.
And you know what, though, at the end of the day, look at this. Let's take a look at this, gentlemen. A year ago, the Yankees didn't make the playoffs. Look at them now. A year ago, you would see what the L.A. Dodgers did by signing Shohei Ohtani. And you know what? The thing of it is, you got to have expectations, all right? And it goes from ownership on down. You have to have expectations that, you know what, you want to be successful and that you want to win. There is no excuse for this loss today. This loss, I've seen fans walk out of the stadium. This stadium was more quiet than the Steelers loss with 60,000 fans in the stadium. That's how quiet these people walked out the stadium. I mean, you can hear pins drop everywhere. That's how quiet it was. People disappointed and everything else. But you know what? 20 years ago before they built the stadium, our old owner, Kevin McClatchy, sold us on a new stadium and said, hey, we'll bring a championship team and everything. The last time I seen a championship team was 79. The closest I seen was with Barry Bonds. And after that, that was it. But you know what? This is totally atrocious. And I just think that they need to clean house.
All right, Clinton. Got you, man.
The stadium was built 20 years ago. It was 2004. They'd been in the park for a while. But I get it. I get the
a little bit pedantic there on your part, but that's okay.
I know. I'm just being pedantic in general. That I get completely the mindset and the emotion of that call. I echo a lot of that, just that frustrated feeling.
There's got to be a big move, and I don't think it can just be limited to the manager's gone. I do think it has to be. If we're taking a step back to 74 wins, we got to get someone in here, player-wise, that helps us translate, you know, a four-win player or something like that. You know, we got to find talking about war, we've got to find a guy who's available in free agency who is, you know,
Wants to come here, though. Well, yeah, you have to pay a premium for that.
I know. And it's got to be like... It's got to be 10 years later, the equivalent of a Russell Martin. Someone that is a little bit older, so they're open to a shorter-term deal as long as you pay him enough money per year to make it worth their while. The guy I brought up to Pompeiani on the sports call last night was Christian Walker with Arizona, because he's a free agent and he's a first baseman and he hits 30 home runs and drives in 100 runs like clockwork. And he's from Pennsylvania. I'm not exactly sure where in the state, but at least he's paid taxes here before. And knows how expensive the turnpike is, and maybe family can drive here, maybe even move here. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, is that a 3-year deal, $60 million or something like that? That's doable, in my opinion. You pay a guy $20 million a year to fill your biggest hole offensively, to hit third or fourth in your lineup and plug your first baseman problem, and your payroll goes from what, $89 million to $105 million or something like that? To me, that's entirely doable.
What if
for
you
this
don't,
team?
What if you don't know what you're going to get ultimately from Key Brian Hayes? Do you try to sign a Matt Chapman?
I think as much as it pains me to say this, I think you've made your bed with Hayes. You got to sleep in it, because no one's going to take that contract, Chris. And they're not going to pay him $50 million over the next few years to just not play. I think that's just a disaster.
I think, here's the problem. You say find a Russell Martin type guy. I just think that was lightning in a bottle, man. They got panned. They got panned for that. I want to say, I'm not gonna. Don't hold me to this. Dayon will be mad if I'm getting this wrong. I remember Dayon, I think, was the guy who kind of scoffed at the signing. It ended up, there were plenty of people skeptical of that deal, Pony. It ended up working out great. How many times can you have a perfect storm like that develop, where you also had AJ Burnett looking to prove people wrong and actually being like the attitude and the I expect to win, F this other crap, that they need?
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating. It's about as frustrated as I've been. I mean, we have got to execute. You cannot have a 10-3 game in the seventh inning and give up 11 runs. It's just, we got to be better.
Bucko Minute. Beat the fall rush. Get 35% off Gutter Helmet. Visit gutterhelmet.com or call 888-5-HELMET. Dan Zangrilli joins us on Fridays to break down these Pirates games. He is brought to you by LGKG Injury Lawyer, 7 locations in the Pittsburgh region. They'll take your personal injury case personally, lgkg.com. We'll get back to more of your calls. That was a snippet of a frustrated Derek Shelton in his own words. Many have called in and said this was all his fault and he stinks at his job and should be fired. Let's hear what he said after this horrendous, horrific Pirates loss.
I don't know about the last three, but today, I mean, it's right up there. I mean, I don't know if I've been as pissed as I am right now. I don't know what we're going to do with Bednar right now, Noah. Probably a little fresh. He did a good job. He threw the ball to the right base. I mean, a good throw to the plate. You know, he's going to have to learn how to long hop. I mean, it kind of short hopped, but I mean, the other times he threw the ball to the right base, he had, what, two fly balls. He did a nice job. Yeah, Skeen should have been back there. You know, it's one of those things, like, not having looked at the replay of the hop. I mean, we probably got to give him a longer hop, but like we talked about with O'Neill, there's going to be growing pains in terms of learning how to use that. Who's that? O'Neill, yeah, he's been good. I mean, he had four hits yesterday, sacrifice fly. I mean, offensively, he's been swinging about. He's had a really good month, you know, overall. He swung about really well.
Is it a bit of a cruel irony that I think it was game time and game go ahead? If it's two shortstop off, I can't go up, but a ball, O'Neill might have been able to get
Yeah, I mean, I don't speculate on that. Don't speculate on what we're going to catch and what we're not going to catch.
What did you guys like more about the matchup against that Root Court compared to...
Just the fact it's right on right. You know, Crow Armstrong has handled the ball at the top of the zone. Both he and Yaz came out just with heat, just heat-related stuff.
What's your concern level, bigger picture, on the direction of this team, 19 of 26, something like that, a series like this? Can you just watch it, or do you have to kind of...
I'm not watching it. Yeah. My concern level is we got to finish games. We look at the games we've lost in August, it's because we have not finished games. I mean, how many of these games have we had the lead? How many of these games have we been one strike away, one pitch away? So, yeah, we got to figure out how to finish games. No, there's no complacency. It's execution. We got to execute. We're not executing. If you don't execute at the end of games, you don't win games. That's what's happened to us in August. It's what we did a really good job of in June and July, so we need to figure it out.
Do you think all those close games in June and July kind of catch your bullpen?
Nah, we play close games all the time. I mean, and you would hope it would prepare them for something like that. Instead of tax them, because we've been in those situations.
Grandal,
yeah, I think we'll find out. It was a heat illness, you know, like a heat related thing. I thought he did a good job. I mean, he struggled early, you know, and gave up the runs, and then had to sit for three long innings because of the fact offensively we had a really good game, and then we extended the lead. I mean, that's a time where you should be able to take a guy out where you're trying to make sure that. You know, you're being thoughtful about his innings with the lead that we had, and that's a game we have to finish, and we didn't finish it.
Man.
I have a couple answers there that I am seething about.
Okay,
and
let's hear
pissed off. One, it's his first game in center field, and you're talking about the nuances of long versus short hops. How about you tell Yasmani Grandal to catch the freaking ball?
The ball went off his glove, and Steen should have backed him up there, but still, I mean...
The focus on long hops versus short hops, and I know he wasn't
elite
like...
elite defensive catcher should have made that point.
I know he's not killing Cruz with that. He's more like talking about like the intricate details. He threw a laser beam that was right on the plate.
He's constantly like... kissed Grandal's ass all year.
And I think that's BS.
It's nauseating and it gets old and tiresome.
Here's one of the other ones I hate. There are several, actually, answers there I hate because he's getting very snippy. Noah Hyles, good for him. I'm happy for him. I'm happy that Noah asked about David Bednar's future. It's a little fresh. The guy has given up runs in 7 of 11 appearances this month. It's not fresh. He's sucked for a while. If you are the manager of this team, you are allowed to say... I don't really have a plan as to who's going to be the closer, but it won't be David moving forward.
And I think IKF could have made that play at shortstop, and Gorman asked about it and got a
crappy
answer.
Don't speculate on who can and can't make plays.
They're obviously very sensitive right now about the Cruz decision to move him to center field. Okay, we get that. And it comes on the heels of a historically blown game. I don't know. Is Shelton right to some extent that you can deduce the game or boil it down to bullpen sucking, bullpen, these guys are paid to be much better and they haven't been? Sure. But I don't know. It just, after some of these horrendous losses, it just feels to me like he's not taken enough personal accountability for them having lost these games. That's all. I just don't hear it in him as much. I hear it more as a frustration, like these guys are making me look bad.
He's also just very defensive about everything. I guess I don't really expect much else. Like I expect a ticked off sounding guy who doesn't want to answer anything. But I don't know, man. I'll go back to the Bednar thing. You really can't give an answer other than it's really fresh having watched him blow yet another game. That's all you've got.
Jerry's next. Hello, Jerry.
Hey, gentlemen. First off, Mullen, this team will not win 5 more games. In fact, they will never finish with a winning record again, ever. Skeens is going to get traded this offseason, but they're not going to get fired.
Get traded this offseason?
Shelton and Cherrington.
Let's go back to that for a second. You think Skeens is going to get traded this winter?
Because Nutting won't want to pay it. And
he doesn't have
it costs
to pay
like $1 million next year.
But Shelton and
Jerry,
and
no, I'm not done with that point.
Skeens
yet.
Is not getting traded this offseason.
I will literally bet you every dollar I have to my name that won't happen.
I think it will, but I may be wrong. But he's not going to be here his entire contract.
Okay, that's a totally different thing. And you were going to say about Shelton and Cherrington?
they're not going to get fired because they are in on the con, all right? And that's what this whole thing is a con by a criminal who owns the team, and he's going to take...
All right, Jerry, I mean, I'll say this.
The guy has fired his manager and general manager before, and I will say this, I think he should spend more money on the team, the players. He ate an eight-figure buyout to get rid of those guys.
Yeah.
Who had actually, if we're being fair to both Hurdle and Huntington, under whom they experienced their greatest success of the last 30 years, going back to the 92 team.
Pompeiani made this point last night. He said these guys knew what they were signing up for. Meaning Cherington knew when he took the job here that he was not going to have an unlimited budget or a huge budget.
Shelton knew he was taking over a very bad roster in a rebuild.
And he wanted to be a major league manager because he had never been
one really
before.
I don't really fault Shelton at all for wanting to be a major league manager. Cherington had been literally to the top of the mountain as a GM. But yeah, you got to go into it clear-eyed. I think more of our listeners like using that excuse, and I'm sympathetic to it to a point.
So am I.
There has to be some agency, though, for both of these people in their jobs. Did Ben Cherington have to take Henry Davis 1-1? No, he did not.
And I understand people will come back and say, well, it got them Bubba Chandler, and that's fine, but the guy should still not be a 150 major league hitter.
Did you see him today? He's learned nothing.